Hello, and welcome to another episode of Continuing the Conversation. You've tuned in to what I believe is now episode 8. This conversation was back in October between myself, T-Rex Afora, X-Magic, and the one and only Alex8721. If you found this episode first, this is a group that is formed from the DMTworld.net community. We created a Discord server and we get together and chat all the time on there. And we try to do about once a week. We get on together and have a little fireside type chat and just talk. We also host some book chats. We host some podcast reviews. Stuff that we're interested in, we talk about together. So this episode was just one of those fireside chats with myself, Magic, and Alex, and we explored the magical, the mystical, the mysterious, and all the mysteries of consciousness that we like to explore on a daily basis ourselves, and it's fun to have each other to sound off against. So I hope you enjoy this one. Come join us, especially if topics in here interest you. We want to talk to you about them, so come join us. And remember, we're not just all in this together. We are this together.
I couldn't for a bit. You know, I lost her for a while.
Yeah, it keeps getting like really choppy over here.
Well, sounds like Moose had some issues too as he walked in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe have to start going with Zoom for this stuff. I think it works better.
I mean, usually it seems fine. I don't know why. It seems like just today it's being weird.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's worked well the last few times, and the recording thing works so seamlessly when it does work.
It might be. Discord. It might be Discord itself, because all my other applications on internet are working just fine, but Discord is kind of cutting in and out.
Damn Discord kids. I probably could blame my son. I could go find some of his buddies right now and be like, what are you guys doing on there?
They got like video games of shooting people going on, right?
Well, I guess so, yeah. They've been playing World of Warships lately. So there's ships shooting other ships. You don't see any people getting shot. You know, just ships shooting ships. There's obviously implied people aboard these ships.
Right. So,
That's been the game he plays. Other than that, though, is pretty awesome. It's called Raft. Have you seen it? So it's this game. It's this game where you like start out on like a little square floating on the ocean. And you gather supplies with like a fishing line and a string and like junk's floating around. So you like gather all this junk and then you can like Minecraft type craft
that's
it
what, yeah,
into
that's
other
what
junk.
Saying, yeah.
So you end up building this massive floating island that's like self-sustainable. And it's pretty epic. It's pretty cool.
These kind of games are a trend right now, right? Like these ones where you like start at one sort of time period and then advance to a more modern time period or something.
Yeah, it definitely is kind of trendy. The big one right now that all the kids are playing is called Among Us, and all it is what's the name of the game? It's like some stupid old camp game where like there's one imposter and he's among you and he kills somebody and you got to figure out who it is. Oh, I can't think of what we always called it as kids.
I never played this.
But it's just that in a video game, where all you're doing is literally texting back and forth and saying, I think this guy did it. No, I think that guy did it. And you're, like, trying to work out what happened. And it's a weird game. But it's literally, like, the hottest game right now. Dude, the nerdy little kids are playing it.
Yeah. They should be out chasing girls and shit, right?
Well, they can't, because they can't be within 6 feet of them. Gotta stay 6 feet away.
Yeah, that's going to make procreating difficult.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have to learn to do it from a distance.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've met enough of my son's friends that they'll get creative. Boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Alex, you know all about having some boys, right?
Yeah, dude. Fucking six of them, man. Fuckers are savages, too, man.
Yeah. That's the word for it.
Yeah, there's always some shit happening, man. It's all right, man. A couple of boxing gloves in the backyard, they're good.
Hell yeah. All right. That's how mine do it. Take it outside. My son's had a rough summer. Every adventure sport he really loves, he got hurt doing this summer.
Yeah, shit.
He's been in and out of casts.
Yeah. Dude, when I was go ahead, Alex.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I never broke a bone until I was an adult in a motorcycle accident. It was a metatarsal under your foot. What is that bone called? Is it a metatarsal?
Yeah, one of those little ones off to the side.
Yeah, well, it's like on like the foot part, not the toes, but the piece right before it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fucking sucked.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. There's nothing they can do to fix that.
Nope.
Dude, I had that happen when I got doored by a car in New York. I fucking flew like Superman, broke my foot. This fucking dude comes over and picks up my bike and says, "Your bike's fine." Yeah. And I'm fucking yelling on the ground, fuck. Oh, then this dude speeds off on me.
Jesus.
The good thing, though, he did come back. He came around the block and was like, "I realized I probably shouldn't have left." Then he offered to pay for my bike.
Nice.
Did not offer to pay for my hospital bill, though.
No. And the first time I broke a bone, I think. I would guess so. I broke my collarbone and my skull. I was jumping a creek on a dirt bike or on a mountain bike, and I didn't make it. And it was a brand new mountain bike, and I come crawling out of the creek, bleeding from my head, like walk into my house, and my mom's like, "Oh my God, what happened?" And I'm sitting there just going, "My bike! I don't know if my bike's okay."
Yeah.
Oh, I literally made my brother go get my bike out of the creek just so I knew it was all right while I was bleeding in the bathtub.
Shit.
That was a mess. I was young and stupid. I broke a lot of shit as a kid.
The only bone I ever broke was my leg. And it was because I went to open a car door and a dog jumped out and hit me in the leg with its head and broke my leg.
Jesus.
Yeah, and this is the funny part. I lay on the ground crying for an hour before my mom realized I never come back inside from letting the dog out of the car.
Oh, man. Damn, she just laid there, bro?
Yeah, dude, I couldn't walk, man. I was like a little kid, dude. I was like six or something, you know? Oh, so I'm like laying on the ground just like, "My fucking leg, my leg." And like mom walks out the door with like a joint or some shit, you know?
God.
So my son, when he was really little, now what the hell is that?
Call?
Hold on. I'll be right in one sec, guys.
Hey, what happened to
Word? I don't know. He just appeared on us. Anybody still around? I'm on by myself. That's me in the corner. Oh, sorry.
I was just updating my status on here.
Oh. I don't even know that I have a status.
I got a lot of shit coming up, man.
What do you got going on? What do you got?
For this next year, especially, man. this year I started getting really involved with the local scene here.
Yeah.
And so I started helping out with the Phoenix Psychedelics. So we created our own group that branched off of DMT World, and we just have it on a Discord server. But then I started on that meetup app, I met up with the local group here, Phoenix Psychedelics, that had been running about the same time that we've had the server. And I've got in contact with the host. Actually, she did the did an interview on the DMT World podcast. Her name's Kate. And she's actually married to the he's a practitioner in Mexico. He's you ever seen Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia?
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called. So you know when he went down to Mexico and did the 5-MeO DMT?
Yeah.
That guy, that's her husband. That dude blasted off Mike Tyson, like a bunch of these he's a pretty well-known dude out there with the 5-MeO DMT. And he's got his own clinic and everything, but there was a guy who was helping her host stuff and run the website, but he ended up going back to like somewhere overseas, so his home country, when the whole COVID stuff happened. And she was just kind of running it by herself. She, you know, needed a lot of help, and you know, I started helping her out a little bit. And I just made a proposition. I was like, "Hey, what do you think?" Because she knows everything that I'm doing for the DMT World site. And I said, you know, hey, what do you think about me, you know, opening up a YouTube channel for the Phoenix Psychedelics group, and also, you know, opening up a podcast too, and just interviewing, you know, local members and organizations, and like the Decrim movement too. We've got one for Tempe, but we don't have one for Phoenix. So it's all kind of stacking up, man. And next month, I'm going to do an interview with her on the group, and you know, the whole group's going to be coming together. I'm just going to tell them my story and, you know, kind of where I'm at. And then I'll be announcing, you know, the future plans that we have for the group in terms of the podcast and the YouTube channel, and hopefully helping them out with their website too. I'm just not too well versed with the website stuff, but I got a, class that is being given to veterans for free to learn all that website stuff, man. And I don't know, I'm really
that's awesome
glad to be doing it locally, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's so sweet. So that local group, how did they find each other? Well, or how did it get founded?
So the person who was doing it, so she was around even before. And she knows a bunch of the facilitators and practitioners here, mostly out of Tucson. Tucson's got their shit together. They've been doing this for a while, and there's a lot of guys that are doing it out there big time. And she was, like, mentored by one of the main guys down there, but he got in trouble, man. He went to prison for, like, he got caught with, like, a shitload of shrooms and all types of shit, man. And but, you know, he kind of showed her the ropes and showed her around to all the people. And, you know, she's pretty connected with everybody else here. And I think it was like last year in the beginning, after, you know, she had gone through a couple of times of doing the 5-MeO DMT and all this stuff. And Ibogaine was a big thing. You know, she was a heroin user and, you know, for years. And that's what helped her out. And, you know, I reached out because I remember the meetup app. I saw it on here somewhere. Panda posted it, and I reached out and I went to one of their meetings this year in January, and I kind of just presented myself to the whole group and started talking to everybody there, and you know, and then I just kept going and just kept showing up, and you know,
that's awesome. How often do they meet?
So they do meetings every month, but then in between, I also do classes with like some of the other people. like there was another guy who does breath work out here, and he introduced me to that, man. And that's been going fucking great too, man. It's just this last month.
You liking that a lot?
Oh, dude, it is. Oh man, it is an experience, bro. The last time, oh my god. So I'm a pretty lucid dreamer. I had this dream that I was staring at this big portrait on this white wall like a museum, and it was a picture or a drawing or painting of a beach, like a shore at a beach, and there was like this scribbling on the sand and nothing else. And I remember staring at it in my dream, and I remember telling myself, like, to, I was intrigued, like, remember this. And like the next week I went down to the breathwork class, which is every Thursday. And this was the first time that like I broke through.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to explain it, but I'm sitting there and I see the fucking picture again, bro, in my breathwork class while I'm there. And out of my chest, I feel this pressure in my chest, and this little fucking kid hops out of my chest, jumps through the picture and scribbles in the sand and takes off running, dude.
Holy shit.
And I fucking just burst into tears, dude. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, just tripping hard, dude. And man, it is, people sleep on breath work, dude. It is something else, man. And I haven't even done anything for like September, about 3 months now, dude. I've stayed away from everything.
Yeah.
Just because of the breath work too, just to kind of go into it full and, you know, sober and, you know,
get, yeah, man, that's what, like, some of the greatest psychedelic minds of our day and our the day before us, they all went for that breath work stuff. They all abandoned it all else.
Yeah, and I've been getting into meditation too, man. Like, it's nothing big right now. Somebody told me something. Do you remember this guy named Thinking Thing?
Yeah.
So he's one of the local dudes here, and he was always pushing it on me. He's like, meditation, man, meditation. And I was always like, man, fuck that. I do meditate, you know. But he gave me this book, and in the book, he was like, forget all the rest of the book. Just read this part about it. And the one part about the book was just saying, like, look, it doesn't have to be what you think it is. It could just be what it is. And focus on just sitting in a chair or a comfortable place and just do that for as long as you can until you get comfortable with it. And then branch off of that, build off of that. And I did that, man. I just sat in a chair just in front of my computer, just sitting there. Doesn't matter. Just sat there for 5 minutes. And I did that for a few weeks. And then finally I started kind of listening to my thoughts, and then got into like kind of controlling the thoughts, and then just kind of analyzing the day, and it's continuing to evolve. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
even at 5 minutes, if I sit there and just close my eyes and just boom, you know, and I come back, and you know, whatever it is, you know, it's just that break from, you know, the normal train or pattern of thinking, you know, that, you know, that what is it called? The default mode network. Yeah. Right.
Right. So yeah, I'm a visual person, and I like to see things, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got one of these Muse headsets, and it's like an EKG type, yep, thing. So yep, you like put it on your head and you can see that your brain, I use it for meditation, and it's so fun to like slip in, and even when I like have distractions, just to see what they look like, you mm-hmm. know. And like what different levels of distraction are in different times of day. Like in the middle of the day, I can be in like active brain mode and just slip into this low calm state. Whereas in the morning, I'm kind of already calm, so I kind of just ride that. It's so fun to watch.
How has it helped you in terms of like your meditation practices or whatever that you're like your goal?
Like I said, I just like to see things and be able to track things and keep, like, it has a nice journaling feature where, like, afterwards you can write, like, this came up, this was on, you know, to be able to track it, to be track how much I'm sitting and when I'm sitting and when it's better, to kind of choose during the day when I need it most or when it's easiest to go into, you know, and just that knowledge is cool.
So are you kind of using it just for the tracking purposes?
Pretty much. The meditation itself, I mean, I don't really use any of its, like I don't use any of its set meditations that it, like the teaching stuff it has. I don't use any of that. I'm just doing my meditation wearing the band, turning it on to track. It's pretty cool.
So what is the, it's like a contraption, like some kind of device that you wear?
Yeah, it's kind of like a, what's the word for it? Like a headband. It's like a headband. You just put it on and it has 5 different sensors across the front of it.
I think Luke Skywalker had one of those before, right?
Yeah, he had one. Yeah, that's how I found it.
I remember he was posting about that, I think it was like last year sometime, right?
Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy. So have you used it
consistently for a long time?
No, but I mean, like, have you used it while you're like experiencing DMT or psilocybin or LSD or anything like that?
So one time I messed with, I mean, I played with it just like, you know, high, not high, some kratom, without kratom. And then one LSD experience I had it on. And I think there was MDMA involved as well.
And what kind of differences do you see when you're...
Not a lot. That's what surprised me. And the readouts on it, I'm curious because there's other ways to take the data. There's other, like, sub-apps or, like, you know, third-party apps for it that read the data differently. But I feel like with the way that it reads it on the normal Muse app, it, like, what's the word for it? It calibrates.
So that's where that one cut off. I just wanted to end this conversation with more than just leaving you hanging. So this episode got cut a little short. We had some recording issues. It cut us off. We went on to talk for another hour, I think. But that's where this one ends. And I just love hearing Alex's voice and him talking about where he's taking things and how he's putting his own spin on this amazing community that we've all created here, and how he uses his energy to give back to it. And I just love listening to it, so I couldn't not share this episode despite it being 20 minutes long. So I hope you enjoyed it. Love y'all.